bring the word this morning. Let's give Billy Ripka a warm welcome.
Well, hello. Isn't this a beautiful thing? I get to speak two times in 1 month. I really like this. So I'm just saying, like, this is fun. Now I rule the service. So anyway, once again, I'll start off the same way I did last time. We have youth group tonight. So like everyone who knows teens, bring them here, 4:30. Please, that'd be awesome. So one of the things that, this is not anything really relating to my sermon. I just want to say, I love that we are a missions-focused church. I love that we are able to give money to missionaries, to families like that, to people who are actually making, or to people who are making a difference in the world. So that was actually one of the things that drew me to this church. Before Pastor Jack ever offered me a job, I was a student ministry leader here. And I figured out just how much you guys do, or we do ministry and outreach here. That was one of the things that, coming into that student ministry, the director at the time at the school was like, yeah, you're not going to have any certainties. It's going to be like, you have this thing and that thing and that thing, and you have a prom dress thing. And I'm like, prom dress? And it was so cool. So I just want to say that it's just an amazing thing, and I love that me and Jess get to be a part of this family we have here, making a difference in our community. So, yeah. But that just stood out for me from that video. So yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. So I want to talk about something that every single one of us, that we go through. I want to talk about something that, regardless of what stage in your life, like, you're going to experience this. And there's really a right way to go about it and kind of a wrong way. I want to talk about suffering. Heavy topic, I know. But I don't think it's been talked about enough. I don't think that we all know how to go about this. I want to talk more specifically about having joy in the midst of suffering, which is like totally opposite. It seems like you can't have joy in the midst of suffering, because that doesn't make sense. You sound insane. And yet all throughout the Bible, we see people having joy in suffering. We see people having joy in persecution, like Peter just gets beat up and he runs away and is like, yeah, I'm suffering. Like, wait, what is this? Are you nuts? Like, that's weird. Is it just me, or is like that weird? It seems so wrong. And yet there's something about it that is so right. And let me go more into this, right? Let me tell you my story with all of this. Because although I'm 22 years old, I've been saved for 4.5 years, I've spent the majority of those 4.5 years in a constant place of suffering. 4.5 years ago, I got saved. A month after that, I was doing something crazy. I was praying. I was like, God, do something crazy in my life. Right? That's a prayer. God, do something crazy in my life. Give me a story that'll bring you glory, God. Give me a story that'll blow people's minds when they hear it, right? I'm a new Christian. I don't know what God's gonna answer prayers. I didn't think he would do it. But all of a sudden, the next day, right, I'm in football. And I'm just in practice, and I'm running in a play. And some guy out of nowhere, one of my teammates, he just drives his helmet under my chin and just lifts me right up. I mean, this guy, he was small, right? He was small, but like, he was one of those guys that kind of had like, he had like semi-trucks for arms. And it was just like massive. So this guy, he just blew me up. And dropped me back. I went back super hard. I felt my brain shake. I mean, that is an experience. You want to have a rush, do that. No, don't do that, please. That's a really bad idea. But so I knew instantly, like, I've had concussions before. I'm like, I have a concussion. I know I have a concussion. So I get up and I do what every normal person would do. I finish practice. I go to work. I drive my friends home. I deny going to the hospital. My mom's like, go to the hospital, please. Like, I'll bring you. I'm like, no, I want to play football. I'll take a little time off, Mom, but, like, I'm not going to the doctors. Because they'll say you're out for 3 weeks. And I want to, at the time, we had a football game in the Syracuse Dome, and I was, like, super psyched for this, right? I was from a small school, so, like, that was, like, you were never going to get there by winning. We just had our first game there. So, anyway, I'm Polish, I'm stubborn, I'm like, no, I'm just going to sleep. Go to the state fair the next day, right? Because why not? Walking around an hour away from home with my dad and like five other people, and I start like stumbling. And I start slurring my words. And my eye is all messed up, and I'm starting to feel like I'm just spinning around, and I feel like I'm getting sick to my stomach. And I'm like, okay, this isn't good. I should go home. So I call my mom, who's an hour away, lives back in Utica, and I'm like, hey, can you come get me? Like, I know it's like an hour away, but can you come get me? And she's like, yeah, only if you go to the hospital. I'm like, no. She's like, well, enjoy Syracuse. Have fun at the state fair. And I was so angry at the time. I was like, this lady is gonna make me miss my first game. This lady's gonna kill me. So I gave in because she's my mom, and she was firm. She was not gonna do it. So anyway, she brought me to the hospital. First hospital I was at, they were like, hey, we're gonna send you to Syracuse. Like, you have a brain bleed. And I'm like, huh. I looked at my mom and I'm like, thanks. You know, I was like, instantly, she's right. Like, we all know moms are right. And wives. Hi. So, yeah. Anyway, instantly, I'm like, okay, thanks. But I freaked out because I'm like, this is a really big thing. My brain is bleeding. And then they said something about my neck and it being, like, misaligned, but, like, it'll go back. And I'm like, okay, cool. But they send me in an ambulance up to Syracuse. I get there at like 10:30 at night, and I'm met by like two surgeons. And they're like, hey, so are you Billy Ripka? I'm like, yeah. They're like, all right, can you feel this? Can you move that? Can you do this? And I'm just like, all right, yeah, I can do all this stuff. You know, at this time, I'm in a neck brace, and I'm annoyed because my neck doesn't hurt. And like, and they're like, all right, so I can move. I can feel everything. They're like, so within the next hour or so, you're going to be emergency spinal surgery. Like, you broke your neck in two places and shouldn't be walking. And I'm, or even shouldn't be alive, because I broke it super high up. And I'm like, I remember just being like, all right, you got to do what you got to do. You know, and my mom instantly freaked out. She's like, you have the wrong person. We're here for a brain bleed. And he's like, oh, I know. He's like, we're getting that cleared by the neurologist so you don't, like, bleed out on the table. And I'm like, well, isn't this a predicament? So instantly, right, I was thrown into this situation. I didn't wake up that morning thinking, yeah, I'm just going to tonight sit in the hospital and have emergency spinal surgery. I mean, that's just what everybody does on a Saturday night. No, I didn't realize that. I got up totally normal, and I didn't think, in 12 hours, I'm going to be having emergency spinal surgery. I'm going to be under a knife. I didn't realize that I was going to have to start going through this and that this injury would follow me for the rest of my life. And I believe in the healing power of Jesus. I'm just saying, I believe that Jesus can heal. So don't get me wrong, right? But we also need to know what to do if he doesn't heal you, because that also happens. So anyway, I go into emergency spinal surgery. They cut me right here, do all that fun stuff. I won't get into the details. They put four screws and in one plate in there. And they sewed me all back up and said, all right, you're going to be okay. Before that, they told me every scary thing that could happen. They told me that, yeah, you could die, or you could never use your arms and legs again, or like all this, because they said 99% of the people who had this injury don't usually walk away. Like, they don't usually come in walking, nor do they leave walking. Because they're like, you broke your neck. welcome to the minority. I'm like, all right, cool. So, of course, I woke up, and that was awful. Waking up in excruciating pain, like, was the worst thing. And I spent almost, there were 3 years like that. It, of course, it lessened over time because I was new from a surgery. But no one told me how to suffer. No one told me how to react in the suffering. So once I got, you know, all right, and like I missed 80 days of school. So like, and I wanted to go back to school. It was weird. But once that happened, I stopped trusting God. I was a new Christian, just found the Lord. And then I was like, God, are you good? How could I go through this suffering? How could this happen? Lord, why would you let me go through this? And I was so annoyed that I would. And I know I asked for it, right? I didn't realize until like 2 months later that, oh, I actually asked for this. Or maybe I did. I don't know. It all kind of blurs together. You get a brain bleed, you kind of just lose a lot of stuff. But this happened. And I didn't realize that my reaction could have been better. No one told me, hey man, let's look at what happens, what the Bible goes, what they say in the Bible. Let's look at this. This is how we're supposed to react to this. So I went on a road of almost a year and a half not trusting God. I got myself into a lot of bad stuff. Still, you know, saying I believe in God, but really not trusting him. So yeah, I want to talk to you about joy in the midst of suffering, because even some of the things I've heard today is that we are all going through some suffering. Not all of us, but some of us are going through some suffering. And there is a good and godly way to go about this. So I want to go into the book of James, right? And before I tell you the verse, I want to say a few things that James doesn't say about suffering. He doesn't say God's punishing you. He doesn't say that because of your secret sins, because of the things that you do in the dark, God's punishing you, so you need to suffer. This is your penance. That's not that. I come from a very Catholic family, so I hear that one a lot. That like, oh, I'm suffering, so because God, I have to pay for my sins. Like, no, Jesus paid for your sins, but we're not going to go there. God's not also not angry at you. James doesn't say God's angry. He doesn't say that. He also doesn't say that you're alone. He doesn't say that you have the right to be bitter, you have the right to be angry, you have the right to be, you know, super upset at him, and you need to, you know, make everybody feel miserable. He doesn't say that. And he also doesn't say run and drown out your pain. So, with all that being said and what not to do, let's go into James 1, 2 through 4, and we're going to see what James says to do. And I want you to hold up your Bibles again, like I did last time. Pull out your Bible, pull out your phone, show me you got the verse. Yo, Phyllis is on this. Dude, she is on this. Logan, I'm looking at you. Your youth. Where's Ethan? Oh, there's my guys. Anyway, so are we there? Say yes. So, James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So this whole idea of having joy in the midst of suffering, right? Consider it joy, James says. such a weird thing. Like, wait, why? How am I supposed to consider this thing joyful? It hurts. I'm not happy, or I'm grieving. This applies to everything, to grief, to pain, to loss, everything. All of those areas where we face trials and tribulations. This goes for persecution, for people who say, I don't like you because you're a Christian. For people who come against you, this works in all of it. What James is talking about is totally countercultural. It's totally opposite of what we would think. It's opposite of what we think today, let alone back then. I mean, let's be honest, we've all seen those people who, you know, go on Facebook and write a long post, and they're like, I hurt so bad. And, you know, you get a bunch of people who don't know what to do. Like, do you like it or do you not? Like, what do you do in those moments? Like, we all have seen those people, and maybe we've been those people who share our misery with everyone. And that's not what James is saying. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to consider it pure joy. Once again, weird. But can I just say something? Your happiness is a lot different than your joy. And you can totally Google this. Like, I would even be okay with it. Google it. Consider, like, happiness versus joy. Your happiness, right? Happiness is based on your circumstances in this moment. You're in church right now, right? I'm here preaching, and you know, I love what I'm doing. Like, I'm having a good old time. I'm happy. You know, I got youth group tonight. I'm psyched. But I could walk out of here and get a call that my grandpa died. I'm not happy anymore. I'm kind of sad. That crushed my day, right? You can get a call that changes it. Your happiness is based on your circumstances. It's based on what is going on in your life right now. All things are good, awesome, you're happy. Things are bad, you're sad. But your joy, it's not based on your circumstances. It's based on your relationship with the Lord. It's found in Jesus. It's found in what he did and his sacrifice. It's rooted in someone greater than yourself. So in those moments when you have suffering and when you have pain and when you feel the loss of a mother or of a loved one or of a brother, you are to find your joy in him. You are to go and fall at Jesus' feet because you can't find your happiness, but you found your joy. You have your joy. He's your joy. He is our joy. He's supposed to be our joy. And what I've learned about suffering is that it's a really good teaching tool. I'm just saying. I'm weird, I know, but I learned a lot through all of my pain. I've learned a lot through the things I've lost. For the ability to move my neck without hurting. I've learned a lot from that stuff. I don't take life for granted as much anymore because I realize that it can happen to anyone. I realize that I could get up tomorrow and get, hit by a truck. It's a real thing. I'm sorry for like this big, heavy, long gloom and doom message, but we have to find our joy in the one thing that doesn't change, in Jesus. We need to be rooted in that because we will suffer. Everyone suffers. Everyone has pain. Everyone. And if we let ourselves get bogged down with bitterness and anger and frustration, then we're not relying on the Lord. We're trying to still, like, somehow fight in our own way. We're still trying to fix our circumstances. We're not looking on the things above. I spent so long doing that. I spent so long being angry, being frustrated, not trusting the Lord. I spent so long doing that. being bitter. And it's so much better to be joyful in those moments, to be in those moments of suffering and pain and being like, I know, I don't know why I'm suffering. I don't know what the purpose is, and I won't even try to wrap my mind around it, because you'll drive yourself crazy. But you know that God is good, and that He will not, your suffering will not be in vain. It will not be a waste, even though you might not see what is going on, because you're in the middle of this storm. There's a purpose for it. God will use it. God will use it. I don't know why God allows things like that. I don't know why. I won't try to put my finger on it, because that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to trust that God works all things together for His glory and for my goodness. God will use the situations of our lives to, first of all, shape us, to mold us and push us forward, so that all of a sudden that thing that you've been suffering through, that pain, you can now relate to that to another person. Suffering can produce fruit. You don't think it will, but it does. But it's how you go about it, the mindsets that you have in it, that really dictate the fruit it's going to bear. If we go about suffering in a way where it's self-centered and it's not focused on the Lord, and you're just angry, you're going to really spread a lot of hate and anger and bitterness. But if we focus on the Lord in this whole thing, man, the things He'll use it with, the things He'll do with our suffering, it's wild. It's so crazy. I know a guy who, and I won't say his name, he's not here, I promise. I won't use any of your stories. I know a man, though, who's the last 20 years of his life has been marked by exactly this. It's been marked by suffering. It's been marked by pain. It's been marked by loss. Like 20 years ago, he lost his daughter and his granddaughter in one moment. She ate a shellfish, and all of a sudden, she was gone. And it was like, what? So imagine having to work through that. Then his wife got dementia. Wife of like 48 years, something crazy like that. She got dementia. And then he hurt his back to the point where he had to have a walker. And before he was going to have surgery to fix his back, he got cancer, stage 4. Now, this man actually lives today. Like, he's defeated the odds of this stage 4 cancer. Everybody's been like, yo, you're going to die. He's like, all right, I love Jesus. He's good. So, I mean, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And this man kicked cancer's butt, like, thanks to the Lord, which is, like, really great. But then his wife recently passed away. And I remember sitting down with him a while ago. And as I'm over here telling him about my neck, and I'm like, oh, my neck hurts, ooh, you know. He's like, yeah, I know what you feel like. And he just tells me everything, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I really have it good. Like, this man's lost a lot. And yet he looked at me right in the eyes and was like, but I've never loved Jesus more than I do right now. It's like, because Jesus is here. He's with me every single day. He's like, my heart hurts. My heart is heavy, but Jesus is right there in the midst of this. He's there. He's looking at me. He's holding me. Jesus is so close to us in this place of anguish and pain. Jesus is there. He's suffered before. Jesus has suffered. Jesus took our pain. Jesus knows what we're going through, and Jesus is our comforter. And I remember just being like, I was like, this guy is like from heaven. He's like an angel or something. I have no clue. It was the craziest thing ever. It was that he found intimacy, actually. an intimacy that he never experienced before. He found it in some of the worst pain of his life. He found Jesus. He says, Jesus is close to me now. He's like, not that I wouldn't want this back, not that I wouldn't want my legs back, not that I wouldn't want to be cancer-free, not that I wouldn't want my wife back. He's like, but I've never been closer. I've never been closer. And I don't know what to say about that. Besides in those moments, Jesus is with us. And we're not alone in our sufferings. Like, Matthew 11, Jesus literally says, come to me, all who are weary and all who need rest and who are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. He's like, take my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and I will find you rest for your souls. Like, in those times where you're heavy, in those times where you're burdened, I'll give you rest. I will be there. I will draw near to you. I'll be close to you. So, my whole purpose, right, in this message, and even bringing this message today, when I was praying about this a couple weeks ago, the purpose of this message was for you to make a decision right now. For you to make a decision, because when those trials come, when the suffering comes, when the loss comes, the grief, anything, when it comes, when the unexpected happens, you would have made a choice now that will affect the way you go into that situation. You choose to react out of joy and to be. If you choose joy, that I'm going to react. I'm going to go forward and be like, God is in control. And that's going to dictate how you could walk through that time. But we often don't think, I'm going to do this in the moment. So write this. I want you guys to react in a way. I want you to make a decision. I don't want you to leave without making a decision. How are you going to react? I know some of you have been through some crazy suffering, even worse than me. I mean, I don't think I'm the epitome of suffering. I really don't, I promise. I know some of you have been through some suffering, and some really bad suffering. Have you lost a lot? I know it's happened. I know that we've all experienced that loss and that pain. But he is there. He is close to you. And I do want to quickly just finish something. Say, add another story in there, because I like to. After my surgeries, right, I had one surgery that I really just, man, I went about it the whole wrong way. Like I told you. Well, I went to Bible college, I don't know, a year and a half later. And one of the first things that happened to me was my neck was hurting more. It was like, what the heck? So I went to my doctor and was like, all right, what's up? And they're like, you broke a screw in your neck. I'm like, ah, so great. I have a screw loose. I know, I've heard it, and I expect it. I expect the little jokes. That, don't you? So anyway, I have this happen, but something was different. It was different because the whole experience about it, going into the surgery, leading into it, even the day of, was 100% different from the first one. Because I just realized that I can't do anything, and that God's in control. Like, I remember literally being in the room with the surgeon and just looking at all the stuff, you know, all the things. I'm like, that's going to be, you know, there's the rods, you know, oh, great. And I'm just like, God, you're just so good. Like, it was the weirdest thing that I didn't feel anxious. I felt okay and peaceful. I'm like, God is with me. And I just want to say, like, guys, he is with us. God is faithful to us. Even in some of the what seem like the worst circumstances of our life, God's here. And he is so faithful to us. He's so faithful. And he's turned those stories, you know, stories I just told you, into something beautiful. God will take our sufferings and he'll make them beautiful. In some way, shape, or form, you'll look back on it and be like, God, I didn't see it in the moment. I didn't see it in that moment. Oh my gosh. You did something crazy in me. You've changed me. You've made me stronger. You've given me deeper faith. God does so many amazing things in times like that. And I'm not saying that's the only way we grow. Don't get me wrong, because I enjoy the times I don't suffer. I promise. Like, I love those times. Those are great times. But I'm just saying that we're all going to go through it. And we need to react with joy. Because at the end of the day, doesn't mean God's less holy. Doesn't mean that he's less good. God didn't fall off the throne because of suffering. God knew that this would happen. But he has a plan and a purpose in all of it. And there's the idea of like having a silver lining. There really is one. There's something in there that God is trying to teach you. He's trying to use these things. And God's not like, yeah, just, hey, here's some suffering for you. Like, no, that's not what God does. God doesn't just like, I'm going to like drop the hammer on you. There's enough of that to go around. But in those moments, God is near. So I want you guys to choose. React in joy. React in the love of Christ. The one thing you can be certain about is the Lord, and do it. Be reliant on the Lord in those moments. So I want to pray for you guys. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, God. I thank you for your grace in our lives, God. I thank you that you're in control in all situations and all circumstances that we go through. Father, be glorified in our lives, God. I thank you that you are near, God, in those moments where we have pains. Thank you that you're in control in those moments, Father. Have us rely on you. Have us fall on you, Lord. I thank you that you know the end and the beginning. Lord, I just pray for your grace over the people that are in this room right now, Lord, the people who are feeling pain, who are feeling loss, who are feeling sufferings, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your comfort in those moments, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to ask the altar ministry teams if you'd come forward, and they'll be available to pray with you. Let's stand together as we close the service this morning. And, compared to losing a loved one, which Billy used as an illustration numerous times, his incredible personal story of his injury, your trouble might not seem like anything compared to that, but James said, consider joy when you encounter various trials, many different kinds. So how many of you are having any troubles at all in your life right now? Any troubles? Just me and Steve over here. Okay, no, there's a few others. Okay, all right. This really, that message is all about faith. And psalmist wrote, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. And down in the margin of my Bible, it says the wording of those two verses, before the gods, suggests that the writer is in a foreign, idolatrous land. Imagine being in captivity. Imagine being in exile. Imagine our neighbor to the south, Mexico, was an aggressive country and they came and took us captive in another country. Could you praise the Lord with your whole heart in that situation? Well, you can if you trust Him, if you trust God in the middle of whatever trial you're going through. So, Father, we just thank You for your word. We thank You that You are a miracle-working, healing God. But we also know and are aware that we live in a broken world where things just sometimes happen. And in the middle of that, we thank You for Your promise that You work all things for good to those that love You. Because, Lord, You're good. And you can turn the things the enemy means for evil for good. And we thank You for those chances. Lord, I hear testimony after testimony of people's lives who, in the middle of trouble and difficulty, found new levels of intimacy with You. So we open our heart to You and we ask for grace and reminders of this truth that, Lord, in the middle of any trouble, Lord, we can trust You, Almighty Father. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two teams up here. Would love to pray with you. Bring the word of the Lord, an encouragement, word of encouragement prophetically to you. Avail yourself of these folks and don't leave here.